prayer this morning. Oh, make me more like thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. And give me a heart that's filled with your love. And make me more like thee. Let's just worship him. Oh, make me more like thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. And give me a heart that's filled with your love. And make me more like thee. We have come into his house and magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. For we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. It's all about him this morning. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just surrender to him. So let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just sing that last verse once more. Oh, let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. And let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. And let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's that surrendered life that comes by the token identifying himself in our life. And we're so thankful that we have opportunity to serve our loving Savior. Are you happy in the Lord this morning? I hope you come, that you come expecting to hear the word and that you'll not go out the same person. We can't come here in the presence of God and not be affected somehow. And it's such a privilege to be here to worship with you this morning. Let's all stand as we sing this chorus once more, and we'll ask Brother Terrence to come and open the service for us. For we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Good morning. Glad to see one with us this morning. Remember the ones maybe out traveling, where they may be. Bless them. I'm sure Brother Rhino and them are traveling to wherever they may be today. Be with them and guide them. I think Lily's sick this morning, and just remember her, and that's really the only request I have. I know we all have unspoken requests and know of things that we're praying for. Just be with them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. Be with them. Bless them wherever they may be today. Be with them and guide them. Be with the sick. Remember little Lily's been sick. Lord, bless her. And all the other ones, Lord, we all have unspoken requests that we're praying for our people. Things, needs, testimonies, Lord, just come down and bless us all. Be with Dad. Give him strength that we have the right attitude to listen to what's being said this morning. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us of all of our sins, and we love you for you many, many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Oh, only believe, and Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here, and all things are possible, for Jesus is here. Yes, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible, for Jesus is here. God is so good. Oh, he's good to us. God is so good. Oh, God is so good. He's so good to me. Oh, he answers prayers, and he answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's so good to me. Do you love him this morning? Oh, I love him so. Yes, I love him so. I love him so. Come this morning and take the tithes and offering for us.
Because we know it's your coming that they find after that.
sing that, of course, I have decided to follow Jesus in the key of C, 477. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Jesus, you can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Oh, I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. The greatest decision you ever make in your life is to follow Him. And He's made that for you before the foundation of the world. Amen. He knew what you would want. Amen. Let's turn to page 211. Jesus paid it all. And we're so thankful for the greatest day on earth, that day at Calvary, and everything that we have need of, and the past and the future and the present, God dealt with it on that day at Calvary. Amen. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Since nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to come, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Oh, Jesus paid it all, to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white. Let's sing that first verse again. I hear my Savior say, oh, thy strength indeed is small. And child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all. Is there all in all? Oh, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. To him we owe our all. Amen. Let's stand as Brother Colley comes this morning for the responsive reading as we sing that chorus once more. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse all sins. How deep they are, how terrible they may seem, he will still wash away every sin if we just yield ourselves to him and allow him to.
That's right.
We're going to read from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Good morning to everyone. And just pray that God is not coming, but that he's here in every heart. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful, Lord, for all that you do for us. God, for giving us the strength that we have. Lord, we pray that anything that is in every heart, that we will allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash it away if it shouldn't be there. Lord, we ask you to guide us and lead us continually. Yes. Lord, when things come against us, Lord, that seem there's no way out, Lord, there's always an escape through your blood, through Jesus Christ. God, we ask you to bless everyone that's in the building, Lord, from the Sunday school, Lord, to the presence in the sanctuary. Lord God, we love you and we thank you and we ask you to bless Brother Dale especially this morning, Father, just give him strength that he may bring unto us, Lord, the words that we have need to hear and that we be able to receive them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Proverbs, Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Patience, experience hope.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die.
But God commanded his love toward us, and now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to page 192. Hope you've been feeding off of that honey from the rock. Amen. We just got through reading that while the love of God towards us, that he died for us while we were yet sinners. I tell you, if we would look at each other through that scope of the blood of Jesus Christ, we would grow in the love of God more. Amen. Oh, let's start with the chorus. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior? Who is wondrous, kind, and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you drunk from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Do you pray unto God the Father? What will thou have me to do? And never fear, he will surely answer. There's honey. We serve a living God, saints. Hallelujah. There's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Then go out through the streets and byways. Preach the word to many or few. Say to every fallen brother, oh, there's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in, let's sing this once more. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior? Who is is wondrous, kind, and true. He's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. Tasted that the Lord is gracious. Do you walk in the way that is new? Have you drunk from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Yes. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock. And for the blood to cover, there's honey in the rock for you. And do you pray unto God the Father? What will you have me to do? Oh, never fear, He will surely answer. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins to the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, then go out through the streets and byways, preach the word to many or few. Say to every fallen brother, there's honey in the rock for you. There's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Amen. It was so good. I just had to sing it twice. I tell you, a lot of these verses, they just speak to you in a way. It just, you can identify with them. Amen. Let's turn to page 612 and sing this song before our brother comes out. Oh, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone doeth my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. And I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. Is that your desire this morning? Oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone doth my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. For you alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength, my shield, and you alone doth my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Let's sing that once more as we stand. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone doth my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Now, how do we worship him? In spirit and in truth. Amen. Let's change the order of the service this morning as our brother comes. The word of truth. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you.
Amen.
Yes, I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted. Shining in the light of your glory.
You love him.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
He truly is, isn't he?
Holy, holy, and I want to see you.
Amen and amen. Amen, and I want to see him, don't you? And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, we'll go back to where we were in Leviticus. I want to make sure you follow me through the message that I preached last Sunday there, and I want you to, you know, if you have any questions and answers, then we can handle that later, whatever. But I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying, whether you agree with it or whatever, because it ain't up to me to reveal it. I can't reveal it. But if I can say what the prophet says, then you got to at least believe what he's saying. All right? See, that's a very important thing, because you know, you say, well, we don't believe the prophet said that. Well, if when I read it to you, you can't argue that point. You know, I mean, that's a settled situation, you know, you can't argue that, but just we'll go back through that and try to cover some things. Brother Dick called this morning and said he wasn't able to make it. So be much in prayer for him. And, Remember, Wade will be ministering, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. But then remember, he's leaving out Thursday to go to the Philippines. And like I announced the other day, if you have anything you'd like to give to him, you know, feel free to do so. If you want to see Lisa and let her handle it every which way, whatever. But if you have something you'd like to give to him, you know, we pay the expense of the our trips and the stuff like that. But we, you know, we leave the other. But if you have anything you want to give, make sure you do that. Okay? All right. Let's see what else. Two, now, after this evening service, we will have a little short period there because, you know, sometimes we leave things just kind of open and don't explain a lot of things. So we want to go through just a little quick run through of the offices of the church and what's expected out of the officers and things. We was going to do it yesterday, but we decided to put it over, let it be this afternoon, and we can take care of that and cover all of the offices and what is the prophet has said about these, you know, for their doing. All right. Now, something else. I forgot what it was. Maybe I'll think of it in a minute.
It will be for everybody, so everybody's included.
Right. Everybody stay and do. It won't take but just a minute. It's not just a doing, but two. Yeah. We haven't had anybody to say yet they wasn't going to stay in their position, office, or whatever it is. So then that's good. But now if you do, you know, want to step down or whatever you want to do, make sure you let us know where we can announce it this evening and cover things and try to get them covered. But we appreciate that. Okay. All right. So let's just go into our scripture. And I want to approach it a little kind of backward way because I don't think that we were doing it last night. We had a real good time at Bible study last night. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We were covering a lot of things, you know, that it didn't start that way. We had Brother Ryan with about 10 questions short that we could answer. And then we got into, we started on something and it wound up the whole service we spent on one topic. So if you want to listen to it, feel free to do so. It'll be made for you. We had a good time doing it. But I'm saying that a lot of times, sometimes I do especially, I just say things expecting you to understand that. But then to realize that, you know, sometimes you do say something and people hasn't read that or they haven't studied that point or line or thought. And it leaves the mind kind of blank upon saying, well, I didn't know it said that. But if you'll just take the message, the Bible, and let the prophet tell you what it is, go read that scripture and read those things over and over until you see it, and then you can realize what's taking place. So let's go to Leviticus 25, because this will be where we'll be getting back to in the message in a minute. And let's just read what the Bible has to say, because we're still on talking about the Jubilee. What did we find? We'll read in a minute. What did the prophet say? He said, I didn't know it until yesterday or today or something. He said, 1977 is the Jubilee. Well, we're looking at a year. It has nothing to do with a year except falling on that date or time. He said, it's a Jubilee. Well, why would we try to figure out how long this is, how long that is, find out what it is? You know, and then we can see that it will open up our eyes to the truth. All right. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. Now that's the land, right? All right. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. In other words, you got to leave it, lay it out. Okay, but watch what you can do and can't do now. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap. Now we're going to read in about two more verses that you can eat it. But remember the word reap is to reap it to sell or to store up or to gather is that point, all right? Neither gather the grapes of thy vineyard undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. All right. So you can eat, but you don't try to store up. All right, verse 8 now. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Now watch. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Now it's gone to the person. First you're covering the land. They would work 6 years and take a sabbatical, as we call it. Ever how you pronounce that big word? They would take a year off. The land laid out. They didn't gather. They didn't do. But you could go in. You could eat what was there. You just couldn't take it and reap it and try to sell it or to store it up. And you can go into the Bible and say, well, how are you going to do that? All right, he'll give you. See, that's why I say, I get into scripture and then you got to cover scripture that you don't intend to cover. But in the Bible, see, he gives you in the 6th double for the 7th. Right? He gives you the increase. God takes care of those things and makes it to work. All right. Now, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and you shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, or gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof. Now, see what I'm saying? You can eat the increase thereof, but you don't store it up. You don't do it. And in the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I spent a lot of time there Sunday covering some things to try to make a background to where that when you do read the scriptures that you get your answer out of it. All right. Now, then as I tried to cover, and I'll say this and I want to back up. All right. I tried to cover the point for you to see that it's not to look at dates and times and seasons, although they have a meaning to things. When World War I ended, it was an 11th day, 11th hour, 11th year, etc. It meant something. All right. When it come to Israel being established as a nation in 46, it meant something. It meant something that one did to Israel because it was them to come back a nation, but also means something to us because 46 was the year. May the 6th was the year of establishment or the date of the establishing of Israel as a nation, then the next day, May the 7th, then you have the prophet coming, God meeting him, sending him to the world with a message to the world. All right. Now watch all that as it ties together in this. When you sound the trumpet, see, in that year, and you find a jubilee. Now, as I told you, if you look it up and you study it and you go into the Bible and you say, well, I'm going to run in jubilee in my, study of the Bible. Well, you've got to spell it correctly. See, we spell it J-U-B-I-L-E-E. The Bible spells it J-U-B-I-L-E. You don't have the two E's. You just have one. But when we spell it, we put two E's on it. So if you're doing that, I do that to where somebody come along and say, well, we can't find the word jubilee the way you spelled it. Well, all right, that's the way it's spelled. I do that to try to help you to understand. All right. But now let's approach this away, because we read there in Leviticus that there was a jubilee, and it's 7 times 7, or the 49, was the time. All right. Which is 7 Sabbaths. You had a Sabbath for the land, and you got a Sabbath for the people. All right. Now, when it come to that time, there were special things took place. When you say jubilee to most people, they think 50. That's an automatic thought in your mind process, is a 50. But you can't stay in the Bible with that. You got to get it correctly as to the numbers coming up. Before you can go to a 50, you got to go to your sevens and 7 Sabbaths and get it lined up to where you got your rest correctly. You got all of your things. There's a jubilee in the Bible. There was a jubilee every 7 years. We think jubilee, as I said, is a 50. You had to go 7 times 7, and then you go to your 50. All right? And you line up things. But then you say, well, what need is to that? It's very vital to me, because it'll tie together all of the scriptures. And if you can't tie together the scriptures, see, then you don't know what you're talking about. That's just plain language. All right. Well, I just ain't got time to read. You got time to do everything else. You know, I mean, if we was in school today and they assigned a topic, you're going to have to answer questions next week. You need to read what's assigned. So I ask you to do that. And then most of the time I just read all of it myself, but I know how the mind works. I don't know what this means to me. Well, you don't even know what I've said. I could ask you, what did I just read? I don't know. But see, that way you blame me for being too deep. What's being deep when you can read? Like I told a man at work one time, he said, what are you trying to do? I was showing the Sabbath was a rest. All right. And the seventh and how it worked out. And Sunday was the first day of the week. Well, see, to him, all he had was Sabbath. He couldn't understand. He said, what are you talking about? What are you trying to prove? I said, I'm simply showing by the Bible and the calendar that the old original Sabbath was Saturday, because it's the seventh day in the week. Sunday's the first day of the week. And I said, that's what I'm trying to show you, the Sabbath and the rest that goes with it. Well, see, that didn't mean a thing to him. But that's in the Old Testament, they had the Sabbath as, which is your seventh day of the week. Right? And see, we worship in honor because we don't have no certain day to keep. One over the other. I'm quoting Brother Branham. We worship on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection, because Jesus raised the first day, not the seventh day. See, we're still in those denominational ideas, and you'd be surprised what they are. But a lot of people think Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, raised up early or late Saturday sometime, hung around all night long, and then appeared to Mary Magdalene them on the first day of the week. Well, you sure got a mix up. But that's why you don't follow the scriptures. It plainly tells you Jesus being risen early the first day of the week. Well, then why don't we read it that way? And see, then that way, that's where we miss. All right? But we're going to get to this in a minute, where your prophet said that 1977 is the Jubilee. Amen. Well, why don't we read that then? Why don't we believe it like that? And that 1977, he said, is the 70th Jubilee. Well, you know exactly what Jubilee he's talking about. Amen. From the beginning of Jubilees in Leviticus, all right, which is really your Jubilees begin, if you go back, I try to not to write so much in because it covers my, but if you go back to Abram, and you'll find that those things is laid in order to there in Genesis 12, I think it is, where you go back to the starting with the time starting with Abraham, which was Abram. All right. And that's where Brother Branham come up with the 1954 years, because he covered it from back there over to here to get his numbers correctly. All right. Now listen. So listen to what I'm trying to say to you. Follow the point and listen. There's a Sabbath in the Bible every 7 years. They had a sabbatical. You worked 6 years, you rested the seventh. All right? That was a sabbatical, a time that you had a year off of rest. Now that's in the Bible. So let's read those things and see. But now remember, now I'm going to give you one in a minute if you don't believe it. Brother Branham says in the message, Feast of the Trumpets, how your seven Sabbaths is for the seven church ages. And he's right back before then, he's covering how there's a rest every 7 years. So we'll get to that in a minute. All right. Just hold on. Don't say, well, I don't know where that, just hold on. We'll get to in a minute where the prophet says that there's a rest every 7 years. All right. But let's read the Bible on it now. But it's like I've told you. We read for what we think. And I know what Brother Branham has said. I've read it over and over and over and trying to understand. He talks about a rest. He talks about it this way, but then he lines it up in the scriptures. Amen. All right? And as he gets it lined up, if we'll follow that, it'll come out right where we're at, exactly to the understanding. So now here we are. We're in Leviticus. And we just read in Leviticus. So pull it back up now. Pull back up where we was, Leviticus 25. All right? To save reading, we drop down to get it to verse 3. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune your vineyard. But in the seventh year you shall be a what? A Sabbath of rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt not sow, you know, neither sow nor all that, into that. Because it's something happening every 7 years. 7 years is a rest. All right? God worked 6 days, right? And rested the seventh. Now God in creation worked 6 days, rested the seventh, as a type. Then Jesus, when he came in, see, look where he picked up because he was having to speak of what was coming. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you a Sabbath. I'll give you a rest. Speaking of the Holy Ghost that was to come. All that Old Testament laid in order is a perfect type to be able to pull from it in the New Testament. See, then Jesus, when he come into the New Testament, see, you don't jump over and try to keep a day. You get what it is. It's not just a day. Jesus raised early the first day of the week. All right, would you go back to the one, and you circle, and you keep going. All right, to the number 8, okay? Now, but when he was here, the Holy Ghost, the eternal life, was inside of him. But he's saying, if you come to me and all you that labor and heavy, I'll give you my rest. Amen. Not just a Sabbath of the Old Testament, but a rest. But all of that spoke of, If you read something on that order, you get a whole lot better picture. All of those things spoke of the New Testament. Right. See, why would they have a Sabbath? Why would God put it in the scripture, like he did here in Leviticus, that you work 6 years and rest the seventh? Why would he put it in the scriptures to work 6 days and rest the seventh? You don't think about, well, why did he do that? He done that to where there would be a type of the new birth to come on over in the New Testament to an eternal Sabbath. Right? See, you'd come to an understanding of why then that, you know, Jesus raised the first day of the week. He didn't raise the Sabbath, the old rest day. He raised the first day of the week, which is eternal life. It's the eighth day. All right? So now listen to what we're saying. All right? So we're reading it. And what does it say now? Pull it back up and let's just go on down. Go to verse 6. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat to you, for thy servant, for thy maid, and for thy hired servant. So you couldn't even make the people that work for you. They got a sabbatical too. Everybody got a sabbatical. Everybody got a rest. Everybody would work 6 days, rest the seventh. And God would always give on the sixth double portion where it would carry through till you can come on over to your past the Sabbath. You didn't have to get up and do. All right. The land, it would go through, but then you could go out in the land and you could take the stuff and eat it, but you didn't try to preserve it or keep it or anything because God gave you the double. You're supposed to do that in the sixth. Make everything ready for the seventh. Everything run like that. You say, well, did they go through that? They went through that every day. Every day they had to count the days to wind up and see what Sabbath. Then a lot of times they would have double Sabbaths. Ain't gonna get into that, but a lot of times they was, and they'd have two like things happen. All right? You'd have to cover what's taking place. Okay? But see, numbers mean something to God. It meant something to the prophet. When the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, then the Holy Ghost fell. Right? It didn't fall on the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth. It didn't even fall on the seventh. It fell on the eternity, which is Christ. All right? Now, so watch now. Verse 9, or verse 8, because this is where we'll get to point in a little bit. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Okay. Now you're going to have a sabbatical, a rest. Every 7 years. Okay. Now it's got to tie with the rest of the Bible and keep it going. All right. So let's jump over now. Let's go to Exodus. You can keep reading in Leviticus and read it when you get time, but let's go to Exodus. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Amen. All right. So rest is going to come every 7 years. Okay? We'll read in a little bit where the prophet said he goes out totally free. He don't owe nobody nothing. But that's where that we don't follow. We think we've got something because we got a word or a thought. There is no slavery to that. But Brother Branham will call it a slave sold in the market. Remember, a slave sold in the market, he didn't go free after 6 years. You say, yeah, the Bible said everything goes. No, he's a slave. The guy that gets bored in the ear sure don't go free. Right? He stays a slave to the master the rest of his life. But get all of that to life. And the Brother Branham will use the word slave. And talk about it being a slave. But read your Bible and listen to what then he says. He said, a true born Israelite. Now I'll read that to you in a minute. A true born Israelite. He ain't talking about just anybody. As I told you, the children of Israel had slaves. You don't follow the lineup of the scriptures and then you get all muddled up. Well, I don't understand what that means. Brother Dale seems to be so happy about this. And I don't know what in the world he's saying. Well, why don't you read your Bible? I thought that's what we're supposed to read. But how many of you get your Bible down and read when somebody gives you a topic or a thought? How many of you go home and read it? How many of you listen to the services when you miss? Right? Well, I just don't understand, Brother Dale. He's been on that for 4 weeks now. If you'd been here and listened, at least you'd know mentally in your mind. Right? It's up to God to do the revealing. Okay, be sorry. I'm just sorry to try to say things, but then when I try to say it, I look at Faisa. I don't have to understand that. I'll give you the pulpit. How did Brother Branham come up with a jubilee of 1977? If he hadn't have been studying the Bible. Well, God just spoke to him. Now, he said, I didn't know this until just the other day. So we'll get to it. But look. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. 6 years. Because the seventh is the release. The word jubilee is the same word as release. Listen, if you just listen without figuring it all out, when I finish this up, maybe it'll be next Sunday, I hope to the Lord willing that you can get out of the Old Testament and get into the New Testament and find out that when that jubilee sounds, it's the same thing as 1 Thessalonians. And it's the same thing as Corinthians. Amen. That says at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Yeah, that's right. And Thessalonians says the Lord himself will descend with a shout. That's the same word as jubilee in the Old Testament. I've preached these for 40 years. Where have you been? That jubilee is the same word as shout. But we'd like to have things that make us interesting. Why don't you get interested in the Word? Amen. I ain't got time. Okay. You argue with God about whether you got time. According to Brother Branham, John Wesley's mother, and they had how many kids to have? 13 or 16? 13 or 16 kids. And she had an hour a day to at least take her with them. Okay. Now watch. Look how beautiful the scripture says it. It tells you right to the T what you need to know. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Amen. It don't matter what he owes. So what is it when you're doing that way? I was explaining it, Brother Colley. I'll get on debt to Brother Colley. You know. All right. I go to him and I say, I can't pay that debt. I'll go in bondage to you for 6 years. Well, now I'm like, oh, we got a scripture down in here in a minute. It's going to slap you in the face with all this. But I don't know whether I want him to work. How long do you think he's got to work 6 years to pay me so and so and so and so? That ain't got nothing to do with it. You don't turn down that man that's asking for money even though he owes you $1 million and the other guy owes you $2. You treat them the same. Because it's a brother. We're going to read it. You don't send a man out empty-handed. Even though he owes you and come into bondage to you and you work 6 years, you give him enough to be able to get started. Well, what do you mean? I ain't getting... That's the old Jew. You're going to find out one of these days why that the 50 never was kept. It never was honored by the Jews. They didn't even honor the 7, but they had to honor some because they say that's God's doing. Now look. Look what happens to... If he came in by himself, I go to Brother Colley, I owe him money, I can't pay him. I said, Brother Colley, I worked for you 6 years. Well, you owe too much for me to work 6 years. You go over and brother, that ain't a brother. I'm trying to get you to see something for once in your life. When the Bible speaks of a brother, it speaks of a brother. The Bible says that you do this to where there won't be no poor in Israel. It's got a reason for all the doing. You can't turn the man down. It ain't a slave to go and sell out. It's if I owe my brother, I could work for him 6 years. And in the 7th, I go free. Now watch what it says. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. Now this is under a 7, so watch what it's saying. If he came in by himself, he goes out by himself. If we're married, his wife go in. And if his master have give him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and the children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. You understand what that's doing? If I go in bondage to Brother Colley, 6 years, if I come in with a wife, we go out, because that's a brother. All right. But if not, and he gives me a wife at the end of the 6 years, she don't go free. Because see, now you're going to say, well, how'd you get that? Well, listen, because there's no rapture in any church age, and this 7 Sabbaths represents, I'll read your prophet saying it, represents the 7 church ages. There was limitations in the church ages, right? Every church age wasn't even gauged the same. There's limitations. There's no rapture. The church ages had the new birth, yes. But other things bound them. Look what it's saying. If his master give him a wife and she bore sons and daughters, he goes out, but his wife don't. If the servant shall plainly say, see, we want to lay on to that most of the time. Don't even read these others. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out. What do you do? Take him down, bore in the ear? Is that what it says? Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. That's the one we deal with. We don't think about if you go into bondage with a wife, well, I don't know what that would mean. Follow the thought. Follow the thought of the church ages. Every one of those ages is in the ground. I don't care how much they had of the word. They're in the ground. Waiting on us to get them out of the ground. Well, because that's a Hebrew buying a Hebrew. Okay, there's Exodus saying it. If a Hebrew buys a Hebrew. Okay, go ahead to Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or his brother. In other words, he can't keep it and just throw the guy out. You know, comes up to the end, as I said to Brother Colley, and I go to him and I said, well, tomorrow's my last day, brother. And I'm going to be leaving. Well, get out! No, he's going to say, what do you need? What do you need to help you get started? And he's going to give it to me. That's a brother to a brother. That was Old Testament. See? Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother because it's called the Lord's release. It ain't me paying, Brother Colley. It's God paying, Brother Colley. Because he rewards him for what he does for me. Right? Or a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again. See, that's specific description. In other words, if you got your own slave, he don't have to go free. You are a foreigner, it don't have to be released. Because you're dealing with a Hebrew to a Hebrew or a brother to a brother. That's type salvation. Or a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again. Because you tell him, hey, you pay me, bud. With that which is thine with thy brother, thy hand shall release. If it's a brother, you got to release it. Now watch. Save. Now look how specific the scripture is. Then we're going to read one down here. It says it'll never be that the poor's going to be with us always. But look. Save. In other words, it might be a case come up. When there shall be no poor among you. If there's no poor among you, you don't have to do a lot of the things. Right? That's God's doing. Now watch what he says. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. What happened to, who was it back in the Old Testament? Jacob and his wives. He worked for Laban. Right? He's supposed to go free. Supposed to let him have that wife. He tricked him, give him another one. But then he turns around, works seven more, goes back to that. Now I've always said, you can argue with me about things, but let's put it in scripture spiritually. Did Jacob have to wait 14 years to get Rachel? He worked 6 years, seven. And he done all it was to do for his wife Leah. Her time, her doings as a wife. He had to stay with her for so long. Now, according into the Bible, really, man wasn't supposed to go to war for a year and all of that. See, I don't know what the length of time that he was. But what would be wrong with Jacob taking Rachel before the 14 years was up? This is salvation. This is not just dealing with dates and times and parts and thoughts. Like I just read you, I go into bondage to Brother Colley. He's my brother. When he gets ready for me to go home, I'm not going to be a lazy bum for the 6 years I work because I'm working for my brother. I'm going to do everything I can to help him. And God's going to bless. Did we read it? Because God will bless. God's going to bless. And Brother Colley's going to gain ground from him. All he's going to do is just say, brother, take what you need. Just take what you need. Whatever you need to get started again. Take it and let's go. Because he's my brother. Salvation is involved in the whole thing. Right? Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless. Now look, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. You don't borrow for the nations, but you can lend. Thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Now watch it. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren with any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Now that's a commandment. You see why Israel is so condemned? They never done that. They never put their brother first. They extracted. Right? Open thine hand wide unto him then. Thou shalt surely let him lead him sufficient for his needs in that which he wanteth. You give him. The brother goes home. You give him something. Now watch. Beware. Watch Israel and how God curses them because they don't keep the 50th. Come on. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and then I shall be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him nothing, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Are you reading the Bible? See, Israel's got the wicked heart. They ain't never let nobody go free. They ain't going to do it. So they're keeping, their sin is holding them. Come on, read it. If you, brother, thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Well, I would give you provisions for a week, but I think you can get by with 2 days. I'm not going to give you but 2 days. That's a wicked heart. You give him whatever he needs. And tell him if he needs some more to come back and you'll give him some more. That's a brother to a brother. I'm talking about salvation, whether you believe it or not. Simply preaching salvation, but I'm so deep you can't understand what I'm trying to say. Salvation was there. Look, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou putteth thy hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Now he's told up there, if it's a time that it happens to be, that there's no poor, you don't have to abide by all of the laws of giving and doing if there's no poor. But now, he's telling you, they ain't going to never be that way. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, and unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew, or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, he shall serve thee 6 years. Then in the seventh thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Are you following what I just preached? Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Why? And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take him down, bore him in the ear, he becomes a slave. So the Bible keeps laying down in order what you're looking at. Okay? Okay? Let's go to what we got left. All right. So you see, there's a release every 7 years. And that's what it speaks of back there, that they had a rest every seventh year. They had a rest every seventh day. That was the type that Jesus could say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you eternal rest. All that just typed it. So if you don't keep your types right, how are you going to do anything else? You keep your types in order, you'll come out to your antitype. The fulfillment. Because if you don't, all right? So remember, we're talking about salvation. Well, Brother Dale, salvation to me, I come unto the altar and repent of my sins and I ask the Lord to forgive me. That's what all of that's talking about. That's what all that Old Testament is talking about. Is a way of salvation. Jesus, when he came, took it from honoring the seventh, the rest. He honored them himself. He kept them himself. Then he spoke of a day to come, which would be salvation finished. But you know what? That Old Testament under the sevens and the release that I just read, that's their jubilee. That's their release. That's what it's all about. That's why you got to read all of that and know what it's saying. Well, I don't know where. Okay. Go ahead at number six and let's read this. Let's let the prophet answer the question of you say, well, I don't know about this 7 year release. Jubilee year, paragraph 49. Now Jesus was prophesied by the Isaiah to preach the acceptable year. That's what we want to deal with on tonight. Now the acceptable year was this, that in during the time, in other words, back there, okay, come on, back there in the Old Testament, in the time, because between so many years, acceptable year is the year called in the old writings, the year of Jubilee. They come, I believe it was either every 7 years was a Jubilee year. So now all that I've said, you see why that I cut off Sunday, because I just said you got a release every 7 years in the Bible. How many of you went home to look that up to see if that release was correct? Or how many of you have ever read Exodus, Deuteronomy, and all of these scriptures? If you read them real slow, you get a beautiful thing. What we were doing there last night. You take the combat beast. The combat beast in the book of Revelation. The man, the ox, the lion, the eagle. Turn right around and put them in the Old Testament. And when Israel camped, they camped three tribes. How many of you know that it was originally to have been 13 tribes. There was 13 tribes in the beginning. When Israel was in her travel journey, there was 13 tribes. Go to the church age book. I'll give you the page number. Your prophet says it. Because the Levite never had anything. He didn't have no land, no inheritance or nothing. He was sitting in the middle. The Levite was where the Ark of the Covenant was at. And like Wade was talking about it, I'd use Dan, but it was Judah. Go see how you get 78, you can't remember, you get all them day. But this, I used to preach on this 30, 40 years ago, really enjoyed it. You realize that they camped that away? They camped 3, 3, 3, and 3. And there was the priest and the word right in the middle. They were guarding that. When they got ready to leave, Judah went out first. Two more tribes went with him. Here comes the next one. I don't know what the next one was. Comes out and, in other words, 6,000 of them. They have 6,000. And then here goes the word. And then there's two more groups following that word. That word's protected. That Levite never had an inheritance. But because of Dan and Ephraim, if you read your Bible, Dan and Ephraim sinned. And when they did, their name was taken out under heaven. Didn't say in heaven. It says under heaven. Dan and Ephraim is put back in the millennium because heaven starts ruling over earth again. And Dan and Ephraim is put back in, and Joseph and Manasseh is taken out, and Levite put right back in the middle, and you got your 13 tribes. But if you don't read the Bible, then somebody says, well, I don't know whether that's in the Bible or not. I ain't never heard nothing like that. Well, I get it out of the Bible. What I just quoted to you is out of the Bible. There was no inheritance for the Levite. Levi said to God, you know, where's mine? In other words, God said, I'm your inheritance. Oh, I love Brother Branham when he said, look out there, seen them great big buildings, great big things. And all. And he said, God, where's mine? He said, I'm your portion. I'm your portion. Come on, church. Acceptable year. Every 7 years, they let the ground rest. They growed no fruit on it, or no planted. They didn't plant. They let their crops in the field rest. Every 7 years at that time was a jubilee, a sabbatical, a jubilee. The priest rode through the land sounding the trumpet. We'll read what the prophet says. The priest sounded the trumpet to announce the jubilee because it had to fall. If you was listening to Leviticus 25:8, when we was reading there, it tells you the exact date that it has to be done. It's on the 10th day of the month of October, which is the atonement. All the dates have got to be right. But we don't read it for that. Well, I don't need to read that. You don't even know, you don't need to read about the atonement. Okay, go ahead. We're still in the message jubilee year. Go ahead. And now the same thing was in the days of the Lord. When they took a slave and sold it, then every 7 years there was a jubilee year come by. And this was a great time, and it has a great significance to the people of today. Oh. That release has a significance or a meaning to you and I today. Just like it had a meaning for 46 for Israel to be established as a nation, the next day God sent a prophet to the world with a message. That had a meaning. Amen. That had a meaning when 11:11 falls on the 11th hour people. Right. That had a meaning of what 77 is. Then every 7 years I shall be a jubilee year come by. It was a great time and has a great significance to the people of today. Roll it on up. But then every 7 years it was the law of God that there was a jubilee year. You don't wait till your 50s. You got to get your 49s in the Old Testament. Then you go to 50s, will cover and carry you into the New Testament. Because the Old Testament will end when Jesus was crucified and raised the first day of the week. That ended that Old Testament 7777s. It wound up to be an 8, which would be no numbers whatsoever, so it would go into eternity. Amen. Right? Well, look. But then every 7 years, it was the law of God that there was a jubilee year. And when this jubilee year come by, then the priest rode the land. Now, if we don't get there, you just remember this prophet went around the world. Don't forget that one, okay? Sounding the trumpet. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Trumpet. And every slave that had been bought with a price and become a servant was given the privilege to be free. Go back home again, back to his loved ones. He was redeemed back by grace. He didn't have to pay anything. His loved ones didn't have to pay anything. It was an act of God. What a beautiful illustration. Going to the next one, number 8. Are you getting the point? The point is, the prophet is saying every 7 years is a release. Are you getting that point? That's what I mean. That's what I'm covering, that every 7 years was a release. Then we'll get to the 50. But we got to go through the 7s. All right, this is still in the return and jubilee. Now, if somehow or other the individual lost their inheritance that was given to them by God, there come a year called the jubilee year. And that was ever 7 years they had a rest, a Sabbath. Ever 7 days they had a Sabbath. Ever 7 years they had a Sabbath. And 7 Sabbaths was 49 years. What? 7 times 70. And the 50th year was the Jubilee. That's exactly right. But get your 7s right first. And in this Jubilee, every man that had lost his inheritance by some means, if he was a freeborn, in other words, it was freeborn, and a true-blooded Israelite. Now, that ain't talking about slaves that you buy and try to sell. The prophet uses slavery because that's the terminologies of our lives. Here, he's not using slavery. What's he using? In his Jubilee man that had lost his inheritance by some means, if he was a freeborn and a true-blooded Israelite, no matter who held the possession, it had to go back to him free. He didn't have to pay a thing. He didn't have to do a thing. Just stop what he was doing and go back to his inheritance. That was every 7 years. Now, if that could be so wonderful to be that way, what is the Jubilee of the 50? But are you listening? They had a Jubilee every 7 years in the Old Testament. Right? We gave you Exodus, Deuteronomy. We gave you the prophet covering this. Now let's take a step forward. Let's just move up a step. And watch all of these fall into place. Because all of that's types and shadows. Go to the next one, which is the Feast of the Trumpets. And 7 Sabbaths is the 7 church years, church ages. He's blinded, waiting all the time on Pentecost, the firstborn. 7 church ages being 7 Sabbaths. So every time they had a church, every time they had a Sabbath, it was a type in the church ages. Because it's 49 years, right? 49, 7 sevens is 49. All right? Listen to what he's saying. Exactly 7 Sabbaths from the Pentecostal Jubilee trumpet, a Pentecostal Jubilee feast, unto the waving of the sheaf and the Pentecostal Jubilee. And then from the Jubilee to the atonement is 7 Sabbaths, 50 days. And at the end of the 50 days is the atonement is made. You get it? And this has been a type at the church. Those 7 Sabbaths back there, where we read in Leviticus 25:8, that you'd multiply 7 times 7, would come up with 49 years. The 49 years of Leviticus and the 49 of Deuteronomy, all of them, the years are coming naturally, would be a type of the 7 church ages. All right? In the 7 church ages, you had a release every 7 years. I'm not talking about church ages laying out with a 7-year thing. You get what I'm saying. It wasn't just 7 years. It was hundreds of years. But each church age represented a release, because the people were released from Satan's bondage in each church age. Each church age had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. They had went from the natural rest of the Sabbath to the spiritual rest of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, right? All right. What did it turn out to be then? Brother Branham, what is 1977? Why would you use that? We can understand why he used 11:11, right? We can understand why he used 46. We can understand those things. But can we understand what is 1977? Oh, it was a year that the prophet said, I read you them over and over and over. I got two to just put them on here. But I read you last Sunday over and over where the prophet said, I do not say God told me 77. Said if they say that the 77 was to be the coming of the Lord, he said they're wrong. He said I predicted. There's not a statement of 77 other than with the predictions are, that I can find now. Other than the predictions and the saying, the Lord didn't tell me. And he said it's not a prophecy. Come on, church, in the 60s, late 60s and early 70s, we sat for hours for preachers to preach about a prediction as a thus saith the Lord. And if we pay 73 and a half, we're going to be lost. Some of you didn't raise up into that, but we did. That's why I preached in 74 when I did. But it didn't shut up nobody, because they wasn't even listening. They cared nothing about it. They had their own predictions. Like I told you, told a dream in like about 70 of a little girl about this high and a little boy about this high. And that little girl was to be our little girl, me and the nanny. And that little boy was to be, and in the dream I knew, that was to be Brother Moat's son, Forrest. Forrest and Anna's right about the same age. And everybody laughed. Because 70, see, by 73, if the baby was born right then, it'd only be 2 or 3 years old. And if it's 7, it wouldn't be 10 years old. No, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You don't believe the prophet. They got tired of listening to service after service about those things. All right? But you know what? We're here now. Amen. And you know what? Anna's not here because the Lily's sick. But you know, Anna, she's quite a little bit more above that now. And so is Forrest. But you know, they're here. And you know, we're still here. So something must have went wrong. We must have not have got it figured out. If we had it, it would have happened. If it had been a thus saith the Lord, it would have happened. But it wasn't a thus saith the Lord. He said the visions God showed him. But he said, I predict. Okay, listen. Go ahead to number 10. We'll try to get to these. Which is taken from the 70th week of Daniel. The end of year comes around and shows, and then I predicted. I never said the Lord told me that. But standing there that morning in the church, I said, the way progress, I got back to one end of the wall and run to the other end of the wall. And I said, the way progress is going on, I'll predict that the time, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I predict that that'll happen all between right now, 1933, in 1977. Yeah? He said, I predict that'll take place. You know what? I believe he believed that. Because he sure spent a lot of time explaining it, didn't he? I I believe he knew what happened that year. I said, something happened. That's where people don't know. Now listen. I don't know why I'm saying it. So it's not a number pulled out of the air, you know. And he didn't read, I don't think. He might have read the pyramids of Egypt, which in one of those, the guy says the end of the wall is 1977. And that was put out before Brother Branham made any, or the last thoughts about it, or it was somewhere, I forgot the exact year. But he knew nothing about Brother Branham. It was just a prediction. But Brother Branham's was predictions. Not thus saith the Lord. It was predictions. Well, I'll take Brother Branham's prediction for, okay, go ahead, take the predictions all you want to. The only thing I want you to do, would you mind reaching over and pinching your hand? Brother Ray, how about pinching your hand? You know what I mean by that, don't you? You're still here. We're all still here. Was the prophet wrong? But nobody won't tackle 77. Because they don't know what it is. And I wouldn't either if he hadn't told me. Well, let's read. He said, I don't know why I'm saying it. That was back when he was saying it a few years before then. Now watch him. But I predict that it all happened between right now, 1933 and 1977. And not knowing it. Watch him. God knows my heart. I never knowed it until yesterday. What was he doing? He was studying the years that Israel was going to have. And from their start to where it was. And when he did, he winds up with the number 77. Listen. And not knowing, God knows my heart. I never noted until yesterday that 1977 is the Jubilee. No, that's a year. You are poor. Come on, church. At least wake up. Come on. Can't you do one thing? You're here. How many years past 77 are we here? Right on 40-something years, right? But everybody had it figured out it's going to be there. What happened? Why did it not take place? You say you're arrogant and hateful. There's one thing about it, but you ain't going to misunderstand me. I'm going to make it so plain till you'll at least know what I'm talking about. You may not believe it, and that ain't nothing to me. But it's whether or not God can say it. I ain't saying it. Brother Branham said 77. He said it was the Jubilee. 77 was the Jubilee. No, 77 was a year. Oh, boy. Something happened in 1977. I told you last Sunday, 1977 meant more to me than 11-11, 46 with the angel coming. Why? Because it had something to do with me. That's when the message became alive to me. 2 years later, I preached the seven seals. That 1974 came out of the series of Daniel 70 weeks. That I had preached before then. Because there's where he said it. Look, I never noted till yesterday. 1977 is the Jubilee. Now, Brother Dale, I want to ask you a question. What's 1977? What did the prophet say? He said, now don't you say that I say that it's going to be the end. Or the Lord's coming, or the rapture's coming. Right? So it ain't none of them. Brother Branham, what is What was 77? He said it was the Jubilee. There was a release took place there. If you want to stay all afternoon, we'll preach a little while about how the church ages ended. Because you're birthed out of the age. We won't go that way. Look. 1977 is the Jubilee. And exactly the same amount of time run out that he gave with Israel and everything at the end. So we're, and here we are at the end of the age, at the coming in of the 70th week. What is it? But Brother Dale, we're not supposed to know the dates of the times and seasons. All right. Go ahead to number 11. Based on seven visions, along with the rapid change which have swept the world in the last 50 years, I predict, I do not prophesy, that these visions will have all come to pass by 1977. And though many may feel that that is an irresponsible statement, in view of the fact that Jesus said that no man knoweth the day or the hour, I still maintain the prediction after 30 years because Jesus did not say no man could know the year. Month or week in which his coming was to be completed. So don't throw it to me and say, well, we ain't supposed to know the day and the hour, Brother Dale. He says we can know within a year. But one time he said it may be 100 years. I may miss it. You remember that one last week? He said it may be 100 years. Maybe 20 years. Maybe 100 years. Okay? But listen. People have said, Brother Brown said Jesus come in 1977 off the message of the 70th week. He said, I never said no such thing. Jesus may come today. But I have predicted that between 33 and 77 something would take place. Okay? Now let's go real fast. Now we're back up to where we started at. Okay, go back to number one. Let's go for real fast. So you jump back in, you're doing it back to number one. The number one is the one where Brother Branham just said, 1977 is the Jubilee. What Jubilee? Now we're going to read down here what that Jubilee is. Because he said it's the 70th Jubilee. 1977 was the 70th Jubilee since the beginning of Jubilees from according to Leviticus 25:8. That's what he said. So 1977 was the 70th Jubilee. It wasn't a date or a time or a season. It was an opportunity for a release. Okay? Come on. I predict that between 1933, not knowing it, he said it's the Jubilee, right? I predict, not knowing it, going up. Now let's read real fast. We've got 10 minutes. This is taken starting on paragraph 195 of the 70th week of Daniel. So he's coming down and he's bringing striking statements from the time God made the promise to Abraham. That's in Genesis 12. I believe that's right. Don't miss this. From the time God made the promise to Abraham, yeah, Genesis 12 and 3, to the time of Christ being rejected in AD 33 by the Jews according to Galatians 3, 16 and 17, and according to Usher's chronology of the Hebrews, the power of God was with the Jews exactly 1,954 years. Okay, now watch him. God dealt with the Jews 1,954 years according to the chronology of the Jews and according to Galatians 3:16. All right, coming on up. Now, counting the time, we find that we have exactly, listen, 17 years left, and we will have the same span of time given to us as God dealing with us in the power of the Holy Spirit since AD 33 to 1977, the same span of time, 1,954 years. See, people spent time trying to prove Brother Randall wrong. They've never tackled that because they don't know what he's saying. Because that's 1944 years. That's 1954 years. Is not. Come on. It's 19. When you come into 1954, you subtract 33 from 77, what will it give you? 1944. There's a 10-year discrepancy. But remember how many times the calendars have been changed since you started back there in Genesis. Now mark it down in a book, a little scripture here I want to give you. Now we've got the Jubilee established. 77 is that. Listen, beginning with the 8th verse. God calls a Jubilee every 49th year. The 50th year was the Jubilee. We know that. We understand that from the first Jubilee of Leviticus 25:8. In 1977 will be the 70th Jubilee, making exactly 3,430 years. Jubilee means the going up, the release. How did we come to that number? If you take a Jubilee being every 50, you're going to come to the wrong number. Because 70 times 50 would be 3,500. Is that a mathematical? Is that sense? There's a lot of educated in here that can count that far. I take my shoes off. But he said 1977 would be the 70th Jubilee. Since the beginning of Jubilees. Simply multiply 49 times 70. That's 3,430 years. He was right to the T. 1977 was the 70th Jubilee. They had had 70 Jubilees. Huh? And 1977 was the 70th, making 3,430 years. He knew the years it was. Now watch. Did you get that? God has dealt with us exactly the same amount of time that he dealt with the Jews from the time he gave Abraham the promise until the rejecting of the Messiah in AD 33 was 1,954 years. And now we have 17 years left. That's where he's counting from where the message is preached, 61. All right. We got 17 years left until 77 will be the 70th Jubilee since the beginning of Jubilees. And what will it be? Not what will 77 be. What will a Jubilee be? What will the Jubilee be? What will it be? Oh, brother, watch close now. Don't miss it. It'll be the Jubilee of the going up of the Gentile bride and the return of Christ to the Jews when they go out of bondage. That one's been argued over. They can't figure that out. Because you ain't listened to what he says. 1977 is the 70th Jubilee. 1977, you had 70 Jubilees. Making 3,430 years. What will it be? What will 77 be? No! What will the Jubilee be? Amen. What will the Jubilee be? It'll be a release. When the Gentile bride goes in the rapture. You say, yeah, but then it's just a little, and that's been way back there. You ain't listening. 1977 set a process in motion that the bride can take a change of the body, a jubilee, a release. When we go out of here, Israel gets this message, right? You know what they get it under? A 49. We get it under a 50 to take the rapture. They get it under a 49. So had it taken place in 1977, you give Israel a 49, you add 49 on to, that would put you one more Jubilee, 3430, add 49 on to 1977, and you come out to be 2026, right? 1977 plus 49 will carry you to 2026, 20. All right, is that right? 2026. Make sure we get it right on the date, 2026. All right? You say, yeah, but that's to them. What about us? 1977 was the 50th to you and me. You add 50, you just get one more year. I never taught no such thing that the rapture was coming at 77. Show me. I got the tapes. I can prove I didn't. Don't go to your, well, I heard you say so and so. Well, you didn't hear me say that. Because I've never taught any dates or times or seasons. I said then, this is 1974, we can go past the year 2026 and not break the prophet's message. Nor the Bible. I said that in 1974. I still say it today. You say, well, Brother Dale, that's getting us closer. Hey, let me give you another calculation. We're in the year 2019, right? You add seven more onto that, what do you got? 2026, right? What if that seven is Israel's ministry? We could be leaving out of here today. What if that other part is to Israel? It don't make no difference to me. Because you see, I ain't never tried to prove no dates. And I ain't scared of what's going on. I've been settled in my mind about dates and times and seasons from all the way back there. It can go to 2026. Not break the prophet's message. Now here's one that's going to slap you in the face. If that's Israel to carry the 49, it'll be 2026. If it's the bride to carry the 50, we can be here to the year 5,000, 10,000, 100,000. Oh, you didn't hear them things that I said back there. You know why? Because if you enter the 50, you ain't got no time. Amen. Right. 1977, we entered a release. When this message will be what will take us. Now, give me a second, then we'll quit. According to Leviticus, you got the messenger coming. The 77 is 49. All right? Brother Brown's message struck the earth. Right? Struck the earth back there. Because I believe he was the one to ride through the land to tell us we could go free, don't you? So 1977 would have started an opportunity if we'd have just listened to the prophet instead of our own ideas. We'd have been out of here a whole lot quicker. But we're still here. So that means, you know what? That means everybody that comes in has got to come in. That means, as Wade said the other day, if we're looking for the last seed, it may be the last seed sitting in this church. It may be the last person in India. But it may be the last person that got saved 5 years ago. Because growth development is involved in the stature of a perfect man. So you see? But Brother Dale, you're so agnostics and hateful. If I can save your soul, I don't care how mad you get at me. I don't care. Now listen to me. If it'll save your soul, I don't care if every one of you get up and leave this building right now. My wife and kids included. And grandkids. If it'll save your soul. But I've never been interested in one thing. This message is the message of salvation. 77 is 49. Brother Branham come. Not as the messenger to the seventh church age. The Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. Then at the end of 77, or at the end of time of the message, the prophet come on the scene with his message. 77 was where God started revealing it to the real bride. It made me happy. Because there about 3 years before then, I'd already preached we could pass it. Wanting to? No, I was looking forward to it. Let's stand. We won't have no music. We just have anybody got a need. Because it's 12 o'clock. You got a question on it? The one question, musician, that's all right. You got a question on it? Save your time of a question. 1977 was the 70th Jubilee. That's what your prophet said. He said it was the going up of the Gentile bride and the return of Christ to the Jews. You realize what he's saying? We go up on the message. That's the release. Israel gets a release after we get out of here. So it's the same message. It's just ever who is to. I love him. You have a need coming. Let's pray. Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. Did you say you wanted a prayer clock? Word. We've tried to make it as plain as we could. It's left up to you. You honor your word that says, by your stripes we are healed. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else before we go? Emperor, just my salvation. Okay. Sing it to one another as we're leaving. Pray one for another. Remember the service this afternoon and wait. Then remember after the service, stay for a little while and we'll finish up what we got to. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and we love you. And we just commit everything into your hands now. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, he first loved.